So what are we refocusing on? Faith, prayer, confession, from the base guy in the back. Faith, prayer, confession, scripture. It's time to deal with the very core of what it means to be a Christian. Now, the Bible is full of individuals and groups of people who did incredible things. And if you have your Bibles with you, turn to the scripture reading that we listened to earlier in Joshua chapter 3. The Bible is full of individuals and groups of people who did incredible things. Not because of the strength that they had in and of themselves, but because of the great faith that they had in God. A God-sized faith is displayed when we step out in trust before the miracle takes place. It means we keep our eyes on Jesus when storms rage around us. It means we are willing to follow God without fully knowing where He's taking us. And it means living for God even if it costs us something. Now, for the next 4 weeks, we are going to explore the lessons we can learn from the extraordinary faith of some of the greatest stories in Scripture. And so how do we define what we mean by faith? Well, there are many different ways to talk about this aspect of our relationship with God, but there's a passage of Scripture that captures it in a very simple and concise way, and it's found in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Faith is an assurance and a conviction about what or who is trustworthy. But this trust is based on things that are hoped for, but unseen. And so when people have faith in Jesus, they are placing their belief, their hope, their trust in someone they cannot touch or feel. Yet they hold a deep conviction that the Spirit of God is worthy of their confidence. The kind of faith demonstrated in the Bible looks a lot like this. Now, I was going to do this illustration that I had here, you know, that, you know, another person stands here, and then I'm going to catch them because they have their trust and they're going to fall backwards, but I want to give you a real life one. Yesterday afternoon, when we were at the airport in taking Ken's dad to fly to BC to his new home, we had explained to him about how to go through security and all that was involved. And Ken said goodbye to him at the security point, and he texts me and he said, "Oh my, I'm nearly gone." And he watched him go through, and he watched him carry his carry-on all the way through, and they stopped him and said, "No, sir, you need to put all this here." And he went on through, and he said, "No, sir, you need to put this in the bin. No, sir, you need to put this in." And the bells and whistles are going off. And Ken watched him look up and find his gate where he had to go. And it's been a long time since, it's been 6 years since he'd been on a flight, and probably never been on a flight in the recent years without his wife. And so anyway, and all that's involved in going to a new home and a new place and all that. And Ken gets back into the car and he says, "Oh my, Lord, look after him for goodness sakes. Lord, look after him for goodness sakes." And I just kind of put my arm on, you know, just kind of touch Ken's arm, and it says, "That's where you got to have faith, my darling." And I thought to myself after that, I'm going to use that tomorrow morning. But that's where you got to have faith. Something new, something exciting, something fearful. But you got to have faith. Got to have faith. The stories of faith in scriptures have been given to us as an example to follow. God desires for his people to live out extraordinary faith. And the first story we're going to look at today shows us that sometimes we have to take a first step to see that God is trustworthy. We become witnesses of God's power when we are full of faith. The Bible tells us that when Moses rescued the people of Israel after 400 years of slavery in Egypt, that they began a long journey or an exodus to a place that had been promised to God's people in the book of Genesis and the book of Numbers. And this location was called the Promised Land, and it was said to be a place that was flowing with milk and honey. It was a symbol of God's blessing and rest. But then a problem arose as God's people realized that the land of Canaan was inhabited by giants. And this caused fear in their hearts. And in order to take the land of Canaan, they would have to exercise extraordinary faith. The book of Joshua begins with a new leader named Joshua. And he is readying his people to cross the Jordan River into the Promised Land. The future, it's uncertain. The way, it's dangerous. However, God gives his people clear instruction for their next steps of faith. Look at Joshua 3, 1 to 6. Joshua 3, 1 to 6. You are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. Camped on one side of the Jordan River, the people are told that when they see the priests move the Ark of the Covenant, they are to follow. You see, the Ark was significant to the Jewish people. They believed it housed the physical presence of God in the Old Testament. And so God gives this instruction because God wants the Israelites people to stay in step with him. Not to go before, not too far behind, but instead to follow the presence of God as he led them. If they did, Joshua promised that they would see the Lord do amazing things. God desires obedience from his people, and their faithfulness will result in him showing his power and might in their presence. Now, I don't know a whole lot about horses, but I did read that Arabian horses go through this vigorous training in the deserts of the Middle East. And the trainers require absolute obedience from the horses and test them to see if they are completely trained. And the final test is almost beyond the endurance of any living creature. The trainers force the horses to go without water for days. And when they turn them loose, they start running toward the water. And just as they get to the edge, ready to plunge in and drink, the trainer blows his whistle. The horses have been completely trained and who have learned perfect obedience stop. They turn around and they walk back to the trainer. They stand there quivering, wanting water, but they wait in perfect obedience. And when the trainer is sure that he has their full obedience, he gives them the signal to go back to drink. In order to see God move powerfully in our lives, we have to follow his lead. There have been times in all of our lives, I'm sure, where we have operated full of faith, where we have sensed God's leading. When we pray, when we read his word, when we spend time with other believers. There's times that these times have been a reality only because we have been trained to listen to him and respond to his leading. I don't know about you, but I don't do it perfectly. However, the times that I do stay in step with God, there have been amazing results that increase my faith in him even more. I found that the power of God is at work in me as to the proximity that I am with him. In this story of faith, God is trying to instill trust in these Israelite people. God wants the people to see Joshua in the same light as they saw Moses. The first thing that happened was God split the Jordan River for Joshua, just as he did for the Red Sea for Moses. And yet there's a crucial verse here in this story that offers an important key to living with God-sized faith. Joshua 3, 7 to 16. And I know we can't read all of this today, but I encourage you at home in your quiet space where you're seeking faith in him, his presence, to just take it out and read it for yourself over and over and over and ask God to speak with you. Speaking with Joshua, God gives the priests their instructions for what they must do in order for God's people to enter the promised land of Canaan. They're to take the Ark of the Covenant and enter the river. This instruction is already a test of their faith because the passage tells us that the Jordan River was at flood stage. However, Joshua knew that if the people were willing to trust God to make a way through the Jordan River at flood stage, he would also make a way for them into the new land where he was leading them. There were two obstacles: the river, obviously, and the enemies. It would require faith to remain obedient to God. So point number two this morning, faith requires that first step. What I find most interesting about this story is that God did not split the water and provide dry ground to walk across until the priests carried the ark and put their feet into the water, their demonstration of faith by putting themselves ankle deep in the Jordan. This was the catalyst to the amazing things that God would do for them. Faith requires the first step. What are you asking God to do in your life today? For the Israelites, they were believing God for a promised land of blessing where they would be set apart for him. What about you? What about me? I feel when I wrote that rather pointed email to those at divisional headquarters regarding an employment for a family outreach worker, I had a step of faith. We are the only corps in Ontario that has a family outreach worker. It's a new thing. It's a new thing. It's a step of faith. I could have got moved by the email I sent, by the way, because I strongly believe, we strongly believe, that this is God's, that first step of faith. And we strongly believe that Meredith is the person to lead that way. No pressure, Meredith, no pressure. But we've had that conversation. We've had that conversation, right? Step of a faith. Maybe, just maybe, God might not be asking you to do that. But just maybe you sense God asking you to follow him, to do something different that you haven't normally done. Maybe you sense God is wanting you to make the first steps in being reconciled to someone. Maybe God is wanting you to move past some kind of sin that has held you captive. Maybe God is wanting you to serve someone in need in your community. You may feel scared because it's a hard thing to do. That email that I sent, I had Ken proofread it, just saying. Just a second set of eyes, right? Because I firmly believed that that was the direction that God is taking us here. We may feel scared. We may see a list of obstacles in our way. You might say, you know what, we've got obstacles. Yeah, we do. So did the people. So did the Israelites. They had to step into flooded water, flooded river. You've all seen floods. You can go neck deep, you can go ankle deep, you can go submersed. But where are we going to step? Where are we going to step? What if God is just asking you to take one initial step? You don't have to have it all figured out. We didn't have it all figured out when we asked. The path may be murky, but the water will not part until you get ankle deep. Got that? The water will not part until you get ankle deep. So what is God saying yes? What is God asking you in your personal ministry? Put aside everything that you've done in the past for ministry. What is God asking you to do now? And we're never too old to be involved in ministry. My father-in-law would say, when he was going on standing on the, I count it a privilege to be involved in ministry today. no matter where he went? Are we willing to take the step to say yes to ministry? Are we willing to say yes to helping in our community? Are we willing to say yes to helping in our church? Are we willing to say yes to tithe to the local church where we attend? There's many reasons to not take that step. Many reasons. But there's one big reason pushing us to do it. We do not want to miss out on the things that God would have us do and be through our obedience. Looking back in my life, I'm blown away by the real life impact that we've been able to have. We would have never have had the blessing of watching God work in our lives without taking the first steps and getting ankle deep. Having faith in God is simple in concept. Following closely where he leads and be willing to take steps to see him work in our lives. Look at Joshua 3 and 17. These priests were obedient to God's instructions, and as long as they stood in the middle of the dry riverbed, the whole nation of Israel was able to pass through without getting wet. The whole nation, not just one person, not just one family, but the whole nation. And so our step of faith can be a blessing to others. You see, faith is rarely a decision with only personal consequences. It's a way was made for God's people to cross the Jordan into the promised land. And when we step out with trust in God, there are often other people around us who benefit. A father who's full of faith will have a positive impact on his children. A wife full of faith can transform her spouse. A single family that's full of faith can affect a whole neighborhood. There's on Messenger, we have a Facebook Connect, which is Whitby Connect. And I am totally blessed by the prayers of God's people that are shared through there. Totally blessed. Totally blessed. Faith. And reminded that faith and works should travel side by side. Step answering to step like the legs of men walking. First faith, then works. And then faith again, and then works again, until they can scarcely distinguish which one is which and which one is the other. I want you to spend a moment this morning asking God to speak to you about what step of faith that you need to make today. What step of faith? A moment is really not long enough right now, but we're just going to have the music play. And our step of faith is to lead to a step of action. Spend this time, beautiful atmosphere of worship again this morning, because God's children come to worship. But the step of faith that you need to make today, what is that first step? And just as the music plays, eyes closed, hearts open, hands lifted, whatever it takes to help you to experience his presence, whatever it takes for you to trust him. These questions are not just for those of us who are in this room, but those of our congregation and our community that are joining with us online. What is it that your step of faith should be today? As you've been listening, what is it God's asking you to do? Maybe he's asking you just to come and stand and say, to physically say, I'm stepping out in faith. I believe that God's church is going to burst through its seams in reaching the world for Jesus. I believe it's that first step. And you might say, well, you know what, Donette, I've heard it. I've heard it over and over again. Huh. God's mercies are new every day. And it doesn't matter whether we've heard it over and over again, whether we feel it's not right, God's mercies are new every day, and he asks us to step out in faith new every single day. like you to stand. Maybe you'd like to step forward and just say, Lord, publicly, I want to step out. I want to step out, Lord. I want to step out in faith. I believe that you're calling me to a greater purpose. I believe that you're calling me to a greater mission. And he is able.